Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is found recorded in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So far the text. Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, you're probably aware that the pages of Scripture, the words of our God, are sprinkled with many paradoxes. Paradox with just seemingly absurd self-contradictory statements, which on the surface appear to be making little sense to our minds. In fact, the world would call them nonsense, but which we recognize as Bible-believing children of God as wonderfully true. Examples of such paradoxes: we all by nature are unworthy sinners in the sight of our holy God, and yet, as his redeemed children in Christ, we're sinless saints. Another one, paradox that by nature we're paupers before our God, and yet in Christ we possess all things, so blessed with an abundance of heavenly treasure, in fact, that we're able to make others rich. Another paradox, we're weak, vulnerable to the attacks of the old evil foe. On earth is not his equal. Yet in Christ, we're stronger than Satan, invincible against him, safe from his attacks, more than conquerors. The paradoxical truth we want to hone in on today is the one that Paul highlights in our text, namely how that on the one hand we're subject to sorrow, many griefs of various kinds and discouragements, and yet in Christ our beloved Savior we are joyful, filled with happiness, true blessedness already now in the present, and an indescribably wonderful future of happiness in yonder life. So we want to consider this text of St. Paul, which we might consider as a word of St. Paul for discouraged Christians. First, we'll discuss the cause of our discouragements and then how to overcome them, how the Lord fills our hearts, even in the midst of disappointments and discouragements, with his joy. In regard to the cause of our discouragements, let's note how Paul makes reference in the opening verse of this text to the sufferings of this present time. What Paul has in mind here are the many unpleasantries that are our lot as people living in a world that is laboring under the adverse effects of sin. You know that when God created the world in the beginning, he created it perfect. Creation story, Genesis 1 tells how God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. There was for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in the original created state, nothing to cause any discouragements. No sicknesses, no bodily aches or pains, no sadness, no stress. Just joy. But when sin entered the world, things changed. Their joy-filled, loving relationship with God was wrecked. And the creation also was wrecked. It began to groan and labor with birth pangs, as Paul says here. It began suffering things like wildfires and catastrophic floods and blistering droughts and insect infestations and plagues and pandemics, all of which caused the earth's inhabitants to suffer problems that the Creator never intended when he first made his perfect world. And God's people were not immune from the sufferings caused by the sin curse to the creation. They also became subject to things like discouragements and disappointments. A couple examples from the Bible you'll remember. Remember Job? Suffered discouragement when he experienced the loss of his earthly possessions from a bad storm, and by raiders came in and stole all of his animals, and lost his family members in a big windstorm that collapsed the house they were partying in, and even then suffered from a debilitating health problem. Also remember how the prophet Elijah suffered great discouragement when he was lamenting as he hid away in a cave to escape Queen Jezebel's murderous clutches, as he noted the widespread faithlessness of the people, thinking he was the only one left who was a believer. Also, if you read through the book of Psalms, you'll note that there are various psalm writers who give expression to intense feelings of sorrow and disillusionment caused by the troubles that they encountered along life's path. What about you and me? Does it happen that we also are subject to feeling down in the mouth at times? Are our lives a constant, never-ending bowl of cherries, bed of roses? Or are we subject sometimes, perhaps oftentimes, to discouragements, tempted to be fearful, to groan within ourselves because of unpleasant happenings we see in the world at large, happening in the news, and in our own personal lives? We don't need to be discouraged, just as we never have to worry. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, "Do not worry, your Father knows what you need, and he'll give you what you need exactly as your loving Father at the time that you need it." But it's part and parcel of living in a world laboring under the sin curse. We do experience, as weak mortals, stressors, health issues that cause discouragement, and other life events that sometimes leave us feeling more than a little bit overwhelmed. So how to overcome discouragements? Two words St. Paul uses in our text that provide us with the answer, the Lord's answer. One is that word, wait. Just as God's ruined creation waits with eager longing for the day when it will no longer be in bondage to decay, when God is going to keep his promise to make it over to be like it once was. The day when God will cause all his children to be openly revealed and wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death and no more sorrow or pain. Just like the creation is waiting, as it were, for that to happen, we too as Christians are to wait for that day with patience and eagerness, bearing in mind we're living in the between times That's between the already and the not yet. We already have been given the first fruits of the Spirit, as Paul says here. That is, the Holy Spirit indwells us by faith and has made our bodies his temple. He's been given to us as the down payment on what God is going to give us later. And though we still temporarily groan, we suffer along with the fallen world, and yeah, also our bodies do suffer from the aging process, from aches, pains, especially as we grow older. You young people, you'll find that out too, if you haven't already. The aches and pains that come to our mortal bodies, especially as we grow older. Yet, we're cheered by God's promise of what is to be. Just as the rest of the creation will be set free from its bondage to decay, so will we. And so, Paul exhorts us to assiduously and patiently, that means with great care and perseverance, wait. A lot of Bible verses that speak of waiting too, in addition to the ones in our text, I might share with you, where the Lord also encourages us, some examples. Hebrews 9:28. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many to those who eagerly wait for him. He's going to appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Isaiah 40:31, you probably know this verse. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Philippians 3, the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things and who have nothing to wait for at all except destruction. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whom we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our now lowly bodies to be conformed to his glorious body. Also, that beautiful Psalm passage, Psalm 130, where the psalmist writes, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. And that's a good segue into our next word. First one, the word wait. Second one, hope. Paul uses here the picture of a mother giving birth to teach us this. A mother, while in the throes of her birthing agony, the intense, violent pain that she suffers, is buoyed by the knowledge, by the joy that she's going to be blessed with a new baby. And so too in our lives, as pilgrims passing through this world, we do suffer pains of different kinds, unpleasantries like those we spoke of earlier, work stressors, medical ailments, other troubles like loved ones being taken from us by death. We have the world's scorn and hatred, like we hear about, especially in our missions overseas. It's terrible things that they're enduring over there. Pangs, living in a sinful world. You might also fill in the blank right now with something that you're going through right now that only you know about, that you're finding hard to bear. These are the birth pangs that make us Christians inwardly groan, but the Lord has given us the wonderful joy, the beautiful promise. As we sang, if we but trust in him to guide us and place our confidence in him, he'll give us strength and stand beside us when days are dreary, dark, or dim. For all who trust his changeless love builds on the rock that never moves. And then in the end, yes, he will also then set us free from all that causes us discomfort now. In fact, the glory he's going to confer upon us later, outfitting us with new and perfect bodies, eternal life in his presence, fullness of joy, pleasures forever, will be so grand that we may look upon the pains that we suffer now as nothing, as Paul says, not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We may indeed live with high optimism and a very hopeful outlook. No wonder the Lord exhorts us, his dear children in Christ to be patient and await his leisure in cheerful hope with hearts content, and take whatever our Father's pleasure and his discerning love has sent, and to doubt not, for our inmost wants are known to him who chose us to be his very own. And in closing, dear friends, let's be reminded too that it's a very good comfort for our lives as Christians to be reminded that Jesus himself, who came into this sin-torn world, he was subject to discouragement, same as we encountered, and a whole lot more. In all points, the Bible says, he was tempted as we are, including the temptation to become overwhelmed by trouble that he ran into, more than we'll ever know. But he overcame them for the joy set before him and has taught us by his example how to overcome them by focusing on the faithful promises of our faithful God. So may the Lord so grant, and may he help us to keep in mind for our daily encouragement during these days in this present age, the days of our faith walk as pilgrims through the world, all those beautiful paradoxes. We're by nature sinners in God's sight, yet as redeemed children in Christ, we become saints, clothed in his righteousness. We are by nature paupers, yet in Christ we possess all things, so we're able to make others rich by sharing with them the blessings of the gospel. We are weak and vulnerable to the assaults of the evil one in ourselves, yet in Christ we've been made super conquerors, powerful, reigning kings and priests, privileged to serve our God and Father. We've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the world's foundation to be his, to the praise of his glorious grace. So when you're tempted to get discouraged, meditate on these things. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.